Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Let me encourage you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 on this Mother's Day. My heart goes out to mothers. This is my sixth Mother's Day without my own mother, and I miss her dearly. I think about my, there is a picture of her with her first great-grandson, our first grandson, Carter, and he's seven now, if you can believe that. And then I think of my own wife, the mother to our children. There she is with our daughter and our two daughters in love, as we say. She is pouring into them this huge, huge responsibility of motherhood. And those three girls have big, big shoes to fill. And I know that they feel the weight of that. And here we are in a world where we seem at times to be consumed with obliterating role distinction based on gender. And because of that, a lot of women, a lot of mothers are left wondering, honestly, what is the value of giving yourself to the responsibility of motherhood, and wondering at times, am I really successful in this, and is this really valued? Well, I don't want to let a Mother's Day pass without communicating that. At the same time, we're going through 1 Thessalonians, and I think, Pastor James at 15 years ago would have been just kind of like head down, keep going through 1 Thessalonians, but I felt like I wanted to kind of say something about Mother's Day. But the problem is the 1 Thessalonians passage is on sexual immorality. Happy Mother's Day. let's talk about, So I didn't feel like I could do that. So I was kind of praying about it this week, but I remembered that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul said, not only was I like a father, he said to these young Christians, not only was I like a father, but he says in 1 Thessalonians 1, 7, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And so Paul has already given us the analogy that what he feels for the Thessalonians is very, very much like what a mother feels for her own children. So we're going to go through the first two verses of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, and with this title, What Every Christian Mother Wants. Now this could be applied to every Christian parent, but it's Mother's Day, so here they come. Five things from these two verses, just packed with Paul's heart for this church that he planted, and so well paralleling the heart of a mother. Let me read the two verses to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Now, five things right there. You're going to see them, I think, pretty clearly. Here's the first one. This is the heart of every Christian mother for sure. Jot it down. Receive my urgency. Receive my urgency. Do you see that in 1 Thessalonians 4:1? First word, finally. Finally. Now, that's a preacher, finally. Okay, so when the preacher says, finally, do you know what that means? It means get comfortable. That we are in no sense reaching the end of anything. And what's interesting is, in the very same way, the Apostle Paul here writes, finally, finally, you got two more chapters to go. The most important stuff isn't even said yet. So I think finally kind of means I've been talking for a while, but I'm not done yet. That reminds you of any mothers? When are mothers done telling us stuff? Tell me, when are they done? When they're done breathing is when they're done. And Irma Bombeck said this, when your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're still going to get it anyway. And I love that. So Paul says here, notice the two key words. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge. See that in the text? We ask and urge. Ask, of course, is the interrogative, but that particular word translated ask in your Bible comes from a word that has reference to the relationship itself, or asking on like a mother would. You know, in view of all that I have done for you, can I ask you this? And then that second word there, urge, is the idea of exhort or appeal. And mothers use a lot of urgency, and they battle frequently the people they care about the most, kind of turning a deaf ear unappreciatively to their very, very important words. My wife is a very passionate communicator in our family, and you might not know this just from seeing her. She's got a lot to say to our family, let me just tell you that. It is an unceasing stream of very direct, to-the-point advice about a lot of things. Anybody living with a mother like that? And come on, just us? Come on. I know for sure this family right here's got a mom like that. Get your hand up. And Kathy, in fact, sometimes she has such a desire to say things to us that she can't slow down long enough to get the sentence proper. And sometimes it comes out all crazy, so much so that since our kids were little, every time she would say one of her wild sentences, I have a little book at home, would write them all down, because you could never make that up by yourself. And so now, for a long time, our kids will say, get the book. Get the book, write that one down, and I have her permission to give you a couple of examples of these gems. In one moment of intensity, Kathy said this, I wouldn't trust him with a 10-foot pole. Another one at an especially positive moment, she said, well, that's the cherry on the icing, isn't it? This is the one that cracked me up the most, kind of a little slur on Scripture. In Proverbs, it says, let another man's lips praise you and not your own, which in a moment of intense urging came forth from Kathy like this. Let another man praise your lips. Which is found nowhere in the Bible. We smile, but can anyone calculate? Can anyone measure? Can anyone articulate the love that a mother has for her children, for her family? If you are not a mother, you cannot. No one can truly comprehend what God has put in the heart of a mother for her children. With all of her questioning, and where are you going, and when will you be back, and who you're going with, and on and on with that. And did you put your PJs on, and did you put that away, and is your homework done, and the questioning that never stops, like here. Finally, then, we ask, but not just asking, but urging. And don't forget what I told you, and remember to call, and this, and the constant reminder of the importance of this or that. And God forgive us for the defenses that we develop almost as a way of dismissing the river of input that flows so generously from our mothers. We develop these awful deflections. Mother, please. And you've already told me, and I've heard that before, and don't you think I know that? And all of these truly wounding words that we say so indifferently as we fail to treasure that which is truly precious. What I wouldn't give today for a fresh word of exhortation from my mother. Maybe the kindest gift we could give our mothers, if they're still with us today, is to take them aside for a moment and say, tell me whatever you want me to hear, and don't hurry, and I won't interrupt. Share your whole heart with me, and I'm going to listen and take it all in. I'm fond of saying the older we get, the more we realize how little we knew when we knew it all. And but as I wrote that in my message notes, I heard my mother saying, "Now you need to source that." So I Googled it, and it came up me in one of my former sermons. Well, I'm sure that's not original with me. So I looked down the Google list, number two. It's in one of my books. Sorry, Mom, I don't know who said that. I just acknowledged it wasn't me. And how much easier we could make things for our moms if we would just receive their urgency instead of pushing it off, instead of second-guessing it, simply believing in our heart that maybe she's seen a little more and knows a little better than we do. What every Christian mother wants: receive my urgency, and then this, follow my example. Follow my example. What a big job they have. Notice Paul here patterning this for those he loves. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk, as you received from us. This is reality. Kids become like their parents. It's almost a proverb. We say the apple doesn't fall far from the, and the, you know, he or she, they're just a chip off the old, right? That actually, that phrase, a chip off the old block, has been around since 270 BC. People have been looking at kids and saying, man, he's just like his dad. Man, she's just like her mom. And that's not a bullet we can dodge. Fact of the matter is that kids become like their parents. Kids become like their parents. Somebody should be saying, you got a verse for that? Keep your finger there and turn over to Exodus 34. It's actually many places in the Bible, but I'm going to show you one of the places where it is. Exodus 34, Moses had gone up onto the mountain, and then he had come down with the Ten Commandments, but the people were already living in idolatry, so he, in anger, righteous anger, threw the tablets down and broke them, and now he's going back up into the mountain again to get the Ten Commandments carved by the finger of God himself, Exodus 34, 4. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning, went up on the mount, as the Lord, Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Here it is. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 should be underlined in your Bible. If you haven't been there before, mark it now, and you'll be so thrilled when you come back to it again. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, that means for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But, always comes down to that, doesn't it? Come on, say it. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Wow. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that children are punished for their parents' sin. Deuteronomy 24, 16, fathers shall not be put to death because of their children, nor their children because of their fathers. It's not that you're punished for your parents' sins. It's not that. It's this. Kids will be blessed by their parents' wise choices and bent toward their parents' bad choices. That's reality. That if you struggle with this and go on with it for years and for decades and don't let the Lord free you from that same sin pattern unbroken in your life is going to be transferred to your children and to your grandchildren. How's that for a motivation for victory? How's that for a motivation for not settling into, you know, that's just the way I am? And a Christian mother wouldn't do that. She loves her kids so much, she realizes that a lot is at stake in her learning to get victory over fear, learning to get victory over anger or whatever is the particular pattern of sin that has been passed down generationally in your family. Time to break those chains, right? And Christian mothers, they want that. It's part of how they love their kids. Receive my urgency. Follow my example. Your kids are following your example. How would they answer these questions? How important is faithful church attendance at your house? What is money for? And how much of it is enough? Is sexuality something to celebrate in marriage or something to experiment with in secret? What do your kids think? What matters more, family or faith? Grades or gratefulness? Truth or peace? What matters more, people or projects? I love the little poem. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Do you know who Dorothy Law Nolte is? This is Dorothy Law Nolte. She died in 2005. And back in 1952, living in Torrance, California, she wrote a little poem that was distributed between friends. There was, of course, no Facebook or anything then, but it was kind of passed around for 20 years. Eventually, it was seen as anonymous until in 1972, a baby food company started attaching this poem with every purchase of their baby food. Because of that, Dorothy Law Nolte's poem, Children Learn What They Live, was distributed around the world. In fact, in 1998, she made it into a little book, Children Learn What They Live. It sold 3 million copies, was translated into 18 languages. Here's some excerpts from the original poem. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. And if they live with jealousy, they learn to feel envy. And if they live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. But if children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. And if children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If they live with praise, they learn appreciation. With acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with sharing, they learn generosity. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. And if children live with fairness, they learn justice. And if children live with kindness and consideration, they learn respect. Finally, Dorothy Law Nolte writes, if children live with security, they learn to have faith. Her daughter said of her, she did a wonderful job as a mother. She truly lived up to what the poem says. Well, Christian mothers understand this and want so much for their kids to follow their example. Receive my urgency, follow my example, and look at this at the end of verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk, it's the idea of the example, one foot in front of the other, follow me, how you ought to walk, and there it is, and to please God. That's the third thing every Christian mother wants. They want their kids to please God. I want you to please God. What do you want, Mom? What do you want? Mom, what do you want from me? I want you to please God. That's what I want. Paul had a ton of influence over the Thessalonians. I thought this was amazing. I looked this up this week. I never really considered it from this angle, but he was from Tarsus. Look at this map. He was from Tarsus, and he traveled on the second missionary journey all the way, look at that, up through Turkey and all that. And there's no cars, no planes, no, I mean, he was walking or riding a little animal. That's, I think, 1,521 kilometers. But Paul wasn't, he was from Tarsus, but on this journey, he actually came from Jerusalem. Look at that. And interesting, that's 4,595 kilometers, 64 hours by car today is how far he traveled to go into a town full of strangers living a polytheistic, paganistic life, and he preached Christ to them, and many were saved. Now, he sacrificed a lot, and it would have been so natural for Paul to say, "Now, come on, y'all, I told you how to live, and I want you to please me in this." But he didn't do that. And that's a big temptation for moms who give like no one else gives, who serve like no one else serves. Moms, be careful of wanting your kids to please you. A lot of frustrated adolescents and young adults feel, my mom wants me to please her. She's always upset. If mom ain't happy, right? Think of it like this. This is the seat of authority in a person's life. And if in your family, the person on the seat of authority is mom, then the kids are out here, trying to figure out what to do. And, Jesus is over here somewhere. I don't know. That's not going anywhere good. All right? You raise your kids like that, it ends up like this. The kids are on the throne of authority in their life. Mom's out here, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. Okay? Moms, do not make your kids think that life is about pleasing you, somehow paying back for all the sacrifices you have wonderfully made. But in all of that sacrifice, you could misdirect them completely. This is what you want to teach your children. That Jesus is the one who is to be pleased. And mom is down here bowing at Jesus' feet, inviting her kids to come and, hey, come with me here and let's bow together before Jesus and let's make it our aim to please him and him alone, all right? That's what we're going for right there. And those mothers, well, they get it. Like the Apostle Paul says here to these Thessalonians that he traveled so far to reach with the gospel. You receive from us how you ought to walk. Such a key phrase. Do you see it in your Bible? And to please God. You receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. It's so essential. Here's the fourth thing. Receive my urgency, follow my example, aim to please God. And then this at the end of verse 1, never stop growing. Every mother wants that so much for her children. Notice how Paul says it here to those that he loved. And to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. That's what moms want. Great report card. Well done. Let's do that next semester or even better, right? And we want our kids to grow, but here's the question, moms. Are you growing? Are you still a learner? Are you still changing? Are you still maturing? This is absolutely essential. And I think one of the things that makes your home a place of learning is if your home is a place of laughter. I mean, if everything is always serious, if everything is always self-righteous, God help us, that's a hard place to really learn and keep growing. But if you have laughter in your home, we used to tell our kids over and over and over when they would get overly serious, we would tell them, if you can't laugh at yourself, the whole world stinks. Which also I know was not original with me. So I looked that up, and that also is quotable only to things that I've said and written. So I can't explain that exactly except to say, walk in the word, stealing other people's quotes since 1997. Really not sure how to explain that, but I'm just acknowledging. Somebody said that if you can't laugh at yourself, the whole world stinks. And what a great, great perspective. This was interesting to me. A little bit of some mom records. All right, so what do you suppose is the record for most number of children? Mother who gave birth to the most number of children. This is between 1725 and 1765, just those 40 childbearing years. Mrs. Vasilev of Russia gave birth to 69 children. Well done. The oldest mom, Rosanna Della Corte, 1994, in Italy, she gave birth to a baby boy. She was 63 years old. So if any of you have a special announcement, now would be a good time. Honey, I've been looking for a way to tell you. Wow. Heaviest newborn. Signora Carmelina Fidel, in 1955, gave birth to a son, 22 pounds, 8 ounces. He was 7 years old. I'm just like, no, that's not true. I'm just saying that. The day he was born, he said, "Mom, I want to learn to read." I could think of a lot of funny things to say about that. I'm just going to move on. And if you're still, I haven't made out your Mother's Day card yet. Here's a couple of things you could put in your Mother's Day card. Happy Mother's Day to the woman who fed me as a baby and through most of my 20s. Happy Mother's Day to the one person who believed I could do anything, despite all the evidence to the contrary. You're struggling for something positive to say. This made me laugh. Happy Mother's Day. You're one of my favorite parents. Mom, I hope someday to be half as brilliant as you are, but twice as capable of using the internet. And then this last one. Mom, thanks for providing me with love that's as never-ending as your voicemails. Is there laughter in your home? Is there laughter in your home? Learners are laughers. My mom did not graduate from high school. I've told you this before. She was called home in ninth grade, and she had to go to work in a beauty salon to help support her family. But my mom was a lifelong learner. She had books always by her rocking chair, several of them, studying, learning, growing. You could never get with her. She said, "I just was reading this, and did you know this?" And she was learning and discovering all the time. That picture there is me with my mom kind of leaning over the back of a couch, teasing me. That's in Phoenix in 1996 when she flew across the country to be there when I graduated with my doctorate. And she was so proud and always set such a good example. When I was in high school, I got terrible grades, and my parents never freaked out. And I am so thankful to the Lord that my parents protected my will to learn until I was ready to use it. There's so much wisdom in that. So moms, never stop growing. And you can set the example and say, as Paul said to these that he loved, how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. And then this finally, maybe my favorite part of this message, stay in the scriptures. I'm not sure I would have tried to make this into a Mother's Day message if it wasn't for verse 2, where Paul says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." See that? You know what, he's talking to the Thessalonians. You know what instructions we gave you. Well, 1 Thessalonians, that is scripture. You know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. All of Christ's teaching is in the Gospels. He's talking about the scriptures, and you might remember that when we started this study on Hope Springs Eternal in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1 lists three authors. See it? Paul, and then Silvanus, we learned that was Silas. And then, what's the third one? Say it. Timothy. See it there? And Timothy is the other author, and it's interesting to me that this reference to the scriptures is in here. How you ought to walk and please God just as you are doing more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Well, anyway, just as I close, just turn over to the right a couple of little epistles in your Bible and you'll find 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Let me show you the quintessential verse in all of Scripture on what Scripture is. Is it underlined in your Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." There's the mother training manual right here. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for training in righteousness. What's amazing to me is if you look back right before that celebrated verse, 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul says to Timothy, "But as for you, Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." It's all about who taught me. It's all about who taught me. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for youth workers. Thank God for children's ministry workers and Christian school teachers. But Timothy learned from his mom. Like, how do you know that's his mom? Well, look at verse 15. "And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings," which means scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." I'm like, okay, well, he learned as a kid, but how do you know that's his mom? Look at chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says, "Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." That's awesome. A grandmother taught her daughter, and her daughter taught her son. I was so excited when I saw all this and kind of came together in my mind. I was at home at lunch this week and I said to Kathy, I showed it all to her and I was like, I'm so excited about this. And she listened and that's great. And about 2 hours later, I went out in the kitchen and she has a place where she writes notes. And she had written down there, "Teach the littles," she calls our grandkids littles. She says, "Teach the littles to love the Word of God." This is what every Christian mother wants. Receive my urgency, follow my example. Aim to please God, never stop growing, and stay in the Scriptures. Come on, let's stand and pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the life that it is to each of us. Thank you for the support that we find here to follow our Lord with faithfulness, to raise our families to love you, be with those whose children are far from them today, encourage their hearts, be with those who wish they could have heard a message like this years ago and are left now seeking with your help to repair what the years have eaten away. But thank you that your mercies are new today. Thank you that your provision for us is fresh today. And I pray that you would comfort the hurting mother. I pray that you would convict the wayward mother. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen the weary mother today and remind her through this that her labor is not in vain in the Lord, and that all that she does, appreciated or otherwise, is seen and known by you, and she serves her master in this. Grant to her a fresh season of vigor. Grant to her freedom from any shame or self-condemnation. Grant to her your pleasure in her truest effort and your grace for a new season of more and more. Most of all, grant to us a true and growing passion for our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.